My name is Josh. I'm super honored to be able to have this conversation with you today. So if you've been with us for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking through this series called The Shape of You, where we're looking at how God has designed us, his body of Christ, for service. And we've talked about the shape of all different kinds of things. We've talked about the shape of leadership. We've talked about the shape of the church. We've talked about the shape of the specific church here at CCW. And today we're making it personal. We're talking about your shape. But before we talk about your shape, I want to talk about the shape of one other thing. Now, I really like nature. Not in the like camping sort of way, or not in the manual labor outside sort of way, but more in the I'm always amazed at what God has designed. And I go out and I take pictures, and I've documented over 80 different forms of insects and fungi that are right around my house. That's the sort of thing I do in my spare time. I don't know why. But I also, my wife, it kind of annoys her, but when I sit down to watch TV, I flip on a nature documentary. I don't know why. The BBC ones, they're the best. But it always amazes me what God has designed out there, right? He's made a lot of really cool things. And so I want to talk about one of those really cool things. This is an octopus. You've probably seen them before, right? Now, a few interesting facts about the octopus. First of all, an octopus can fit through any hole that is the size of its beak. Yeah, they're invertebrates, so they don't actually have an internal bone structure. They also don't have a carapace. The hardest thing in the octopus is their beak. And so as long as their beak can fit, they pop right through. They come out the other side, no worse for wear. Pretty interesting. Not only can the octopus squish through small holes, but they're also one of the most intelligent, the most intelligent invertebrate, not that there's a lot of competition out there. They have been known to use tools, like this octopus, which is actually carrying a coconut shell. And as you can see, he's going to grab another coconut shell, and he's going to use that coconut shell to hide in. And he'll carry those coconut shells around with him, hiding in this coconut shell while he's hunting his prey. They're really intelligent. They even roll around in these coconut shells. It's amazing to watch. And then this is something else that's true about the octopus that you've probably seen before, is they can change color, right? They can actually change the pigment in their own skin, not only changing color, but also changing their texture. This octopus is sleeping. They believe he's actually dreaming, and as he's dreaming, he's kind of revolving through all these different shades that he can turn. Now, the octopus, the reason he's able to do all of these things is because the octopus, God has designed him for active camouflage. That means that he's really, really good at hiding. Why? Well, two reasons. First of all, the octopus is good at hiding because there are a lot of things that like to eat the octopus, including human beings, right? So he likes to blend into his surroundings. And then he also likes to eat a whole lot of things. And so he's got to blend in so he can hunt well. The octopus is designed for active camouflage. Now, I know this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, is you weren't designed to be an octopus, right? And not just like in the sense of you've only got four appendages instead of eight, or the fact that you can't squeeze your body through small holes. You weren't designed to be an octopus. Now, we're going to talk about that just a little bit. I'll explain in a bit. But here's the thing. Last week, Chris came and talked to us about the body of Christ, and he reminded us that every single one of us who has committed our lives to Jesus Christ, have placed our faith in him, are baptized into his name, we become a part of that body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, and you can look around in the world, and obviously there's a lot of diversity inside of this room. There's a lot of diversity inside of the world. And that diversity, a lot of times in the world, it causes all kinds of divisions, right? We fight over things that we're different about. We fight over opinions that we have. We fight over all kinds of stuff. But in the body of Christ, all those differences, they stop mattering. It doesn't matter anymore. We get unity instead. One of the writers of the New Testament wrote a whole bunch about this unity. His name was Paul, and the ironic thing is, Paul, before becoming a Christ follower, was a Jewish Pharisee. That means he was a teacher of the law. And as a Jewish Pharisee, he didn't have much room for diversity in his life. Jewish Pharisees, they dressed the same way. They ate the same sort of foods. If you were of a different religious background, he would consider you a heretic. If you were of a different ethnicity, he wouldn't even go into your house. But when Paul encountered Christ, all of that changed. And he wrote these words to the church in Ephesus. He said, "So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God. through faith, for all of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And you can add to this list all those differences, the diversity, the things that divide in the world. You can add to this list, right? You can talk about skin color or ethnicity. You can talk about socioeconomic background or your political alignment. You could talk about those people who wear sandals versus flip-flops. Or, even worse, the people who say pop instead of soda, right? But none of those differences matter inside the church. Inside the church, all that diversity, and we get unity instead. Because God designed his church for unity, right? Now, I hope you understand when I say that. It doesn't mean that God designed you to become some homogenous group of personality-less drones. That was not his intent. God took all the diversity, all the differences that we have, and instead of allowing them to cause division, he took that diversity and changed it into diverse unity, all right? So inside the church, we've got diversity, but it only lends to unity. It only brings about more unity. And so we're going to look at this diverse unity, and we're going to talk about what that means by looking at 1 Corinthians 12 today. If you were here last week, Chris talked a lot about the second half of 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to be looking at the first half. But before we get there, let me tell you a little bit about this letter that was written to the 1 Corinthians. Paul, once again, wrote this letter. And he wrote to a church in the city of Corinth. Corinth was a city right on the coast of Greece. And because it was on the coast, it became a big trading area. And as people traded, more and more people would come through from all over the Roman Empire. People with different religious backgrounds, people with different ethnic backgrounds, people with different languages, all different kinds of stuff. And they all came to Corinth. So Corinth was a diverse place. Paul, in his missionary journeys, helped to plant a new church in Corinth. And that church, it thrived. It thrived in the midst of the diversity. But as we're going to see in Paul's letter, the church of Corinth had let something that made them diverse cause division. And strangely enough, this was something that it wasn't their ethnic background. It wasn't the religious beliefs they had before Christ. It wasn't anything like that. It was something that God had placed in them, something that we call spiritual gifts. And we'll talk a little bit more about these spiritual gifts in a moment. But they had taken these spiritual gifts and they said, oh, well, this spiritual gift is really important. Or you're not a good Christian if you don't have this spiritual gift. And they started letting these things, this diversity that God had placed in their midst, cause division. And so Paul wrote this letter, and here's what he said. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but there's the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so what Paul is saying right here at the beginning is that the diverse unity that we find inside the church is modeled by the diverse unity that's found inside the Godhead. Now, you may have heard the word Trinity or Triune. I'm going to use the word Godhead. And this is way above my theological pay grade, understand? I'm not sure we're ever going to fully understand it in this life. But there are three persons that Paul mentions here. He mentions the Spirit of God. He mentions the Lord, that's Jesus Christ. And he mentions God the Father. And these three persons, they're totally different. They're totally unique. They have their own personality, and yet, at the same time, they're one person. That's the Godhead. So we see the Godhead modeling what the church is supposed to be. And Paul goes on to say, hey, in the church, we have many types of gifts. We have many types of service. We have many types of works. But all that diversity is still makes us one inside the church. All right? So we see God modeling what we're supposed to be as a church community. So Paul goes on and he begins to write about some of these diverse gifts that we encounter inside of the church. Now, what you've got to understand, everyone, is we have a general call. And that general call is for every Christ follower. When you decide to follow Jesus, place your faith in him, then you are supposed to become more and more like him. Your attitudes, your actions, they're going to change. The way you think, it's going to change. You're going to become more like Christ. That's the general call of every Christ follower. but we also have specific callings. We have specific gifts. We have specific services, ministries that we operate. We have specific works that God is going to do through our life. And here's what Paul says about these specific gifts. He says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So there's always this temptation when we read through lists like this to get stuck in the weeds and start having a conversation about what these different gifts are and what they do and who they belong to. But I don't think that's Paul's point here. And so we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the specifics of the gifts. Instead, we do need to look at a couple of things that we can learn about spiritual gifting from what Paul says here. The first thing we can know is that spiritual gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit of God in our lives. So when we decide to follow Jesus and are baptized in his name, according to Acts 2:38, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That means God's Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And that's mind-blowing. And when he's living inside of us, he's changing us. And sometimes he brings things out of us that just aren't natural to who we normally are. Sometimes these gifts, these spiritual gifts as we call them, sometimes they're miraculous. Paul listed some of those things like healing and speaking in tongues. Sometimes they're motivational. Things like maybe he teaches you to lead in a new way or to serve in a new way or to give in a new way. Either way, it's the same Spirit that's at work in the midst of all those gifts. The second thing we can know about spiritual gifts is that they're very diverse. There's a whole lot of them. And in this passage, Paul lists 9 different gifts. Later on in the same chapter, he's going to list 8 different gifts. Over in the book of Romans 12, he lists 7 gifts. And in Ephesians, he lists another 5 gifts. And these lists, they have some overlap. Some of these gifts show up in both places. Some of them are only found in one list. And there have been a bunch of scholars that over the course of time have been like trying to figure out, why is this gift over here but not over here? And why is this list in this list? And they call it specific things, and they try to categorize everything. But I don't think that's what Paul's doing here. This isn't an exhaustive list that he's created. This isn't an exhaustive list. He's merely explaining that there is a whole lot of diversity, a lot of different things that the Spirit of God can do in and through us. And he starts listing some of them. He doesn't list all of them, okay? So this list, don't try to be like, oh, well, that's clearly what I do, or that's clearly what I do. The Spirit of God is working through us in many different ways. He's going to show up in a lot of different ways. So that's what we need about spiritual gifts, but why does God actually empower us with this new diversity? I mean, with all the diversity that we already have here, why does God give us something else that makes us different than each other? And Paul answers this in verse 7. He says that these spiritual gifts are given for the common good. For the common good of who? The church, the body of Christ. That's why these gifts are given, for the common good. And then he goes on at the end of this chapter to say that we've really got to check our motives when it actually comes to spiritual gifts. Check this out. This is the last verse in chapter 12. He says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And that's easy. You know, we look through this list and we can say, yeah, I wish I had the gift of service, or I wish I had the gift to be able to speak in other tongues, or whatever that gift might be. I wish I had that. For the common good, of course. But then he says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And what's the most excellent way? Well, 1 Corinthians 13, if you've ever read this chapter, we call it the great love chapter, because it's all about love. And I love what Paul says right at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13. He says, even if I were to speak in the tongue of men and angels, but I didn't have love, I'm just a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. I'm just making noise. Even if I had the gift of prophecy and I could fathom all the mysteries and knowledge in the world, but I didn't have love, I'm nothing. Even if I give all I possess away to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, but I don't have love, I've gained nothing. Paul says you can have all of those gifts and they don't mean anything if you do not have love. And that's the motivation that needs to be driving why we do what we do as a church. It's the motivation behind why we use the gifts that God has given us. Love. Love for God, love for his people, love for those who have not even known Christ yet. Love. And unfortunately, what we see, and we see this inside the Church of Corinth, right? So the Church of Corinth, instead of operating out of a motivation of love, instead of using their gifts to build one another up, they start using their gifts to look good in their own eyes. They start looking at themselves and saying, how can this gift make me look better? But you guys understand that these gifts, they're not for us, right? These are gifts that are meant to be given away. I'm okay at public speaking. I'm up here today. But this isn't for me. This isn't about my glory. This isn't about building the Church of Josh. This is for the body of Christ so that we may be built up. So you may have the gift of leadership, but it's not for you. It's for others. You may have the gift of speaking in tongues, but it's not for you. It's to build up the body of Christ through love. So just to So Paul says a couple of other things later on, which we can touch on here. Ephesians 2:10, he says, for we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And in 2 Peter, the writer of 1 Peter, that makes sense since this is his name, right? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So over and over again, we see the outpouring when we look at our spiritual gifts and then we combine that with love. The outpouring is meaningful service to other people. That's the end game, okay? So if we were gonna wrap all this up into one statement, God takes the diversity that's found inside the church, and through love and through his Spirit, he creates unity. That's what it's all about, guys. I put it into a mathematical equation, not because I like math. In fact, I despise math. But maybe it'll help one of you guys. So God takes the diversity, combines it with the love and the service, and then he multiplies that by his Spirit in our lives, and as a result, the church is built up. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about the unity of the body of Christ in this world. Now, as I said, we're going to get a little focus today. We're going to make it personal because it's not, we just talked about the foundation of why we serve right now, okay, and what service inside the body of Christ is all about. But I think it's important for you to understand, because this is a personal conversation. Understand, I'm not talking to you collectively. I'm talking to you and you and you, you, okay? This is about you and what's going on in your life. So let's make this personal. You were designed to serve. You were designed to build up the body of Christ. Yes, you. You were designed for that. And I can tell you, you were not designed to be an octopus. Now, I told you I was going to explain this. I just took the scenic route to get there. So octopuses, they blend in. Octopuses, they squeeze into places they weren't designed to be. Right? I think a lot of times what happens, what we see in the church is people come to a relationship with Jesus Christ and they say, yeah, you know, I want Jesus as Lord in my life. And then they come in and they sit down and they just become consumers at the church. They consume Christ's body instead of building Christ's body up. And other times what we see is especially I see this among new Christ followers, is they're so excited to serve Jesus Christ and they start serving here and start serving there and start serving everywhere. And soon they get burned out. And the reason they get burned out is because they're trying to fit themselves into places they weren't designed to be. You aren't designed to be an octopus. You were designed to build up the body of Christ. So how do we make that shift from blending in or fitting the places we don't belong to finding meaningful, fulfilling, selfless service in our lives? I think there are three big things that we can do walking out the door today that are going to help with this. First of all, you have to change your attitude and your actions. Philippians 2 is my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. It's amazing. It's a song that Paul records that was for the early church. And in it, he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And what was his attitude exemplified by? According to Philippians 2, it was about humility. It was about considering others better than himself. It was about selfless, sacrificial love. And our attitudes need to be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And as we look through this song that's in Philippians 2, what we see is Paul describes how God became flesh. Not because he had to, but because he had the attitude of humility. And he says that Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived and he died. He could have called down angels and just taken the whole place over. But instead he goes to the cross for us. Why? Because of his attitude of humility, right? He loved the unlovable. He touched the untouchable because of humility, right? And the second to last day that Christ is on this earth, and he could be doing anything else. Instead, we find him washing the feet of his disciples. Why? Because he had an attitude of humility. Now, if you're a non-Christian, if you don't consider yourself a Christ follower, you're off the hook today, okay? Now, I hope that you can come to discover a relationship with the Jesus Christ that has transformed my life and the lives of many of the people who are sitting here today. And if you want to have a conversation about that today, that's the most important conversation you can have. I'll be around to have that. There will be a prayer team. There will be people on the hallway. You can have a conversation about that. But you're off the hook. Those of you who do consider yourselves Christians, though, you're accountable to this. You understand that, right? Like, when you decide to follow Jesus, it wasn't like, yay, I'm saved, I'm done, you know? No, we're committed to becoming more like Jesus. And we're called to have the attitude of Jesus Christ in our lives. If you are a Christ follower, you can't be an exception to the rule here. You need to have the attitude of Jesus, because when you have the attitude of Jesus, you're going to start having the action of Jesus. And we get to see the action of Jesus all throughout the Gospels. He spends time with people who are broken. He sacrifices himself on the cross. He feeds the hungry. These are the things that Christ is doing because of the attitude that he has. So when we develop the attitude of Christ, we're going to start doing the actions of Christ. Now, here's the thing. I think a lot of times we think that we have to wait for that attitude to develop before we actually start serving. And that's a mistake, guys. You're not going to like wake up tomorrow and be like, oh, I feel like Jesus. I guess I should start serving. It doesn't work like that. You start serving now, and the Spirit of God will start transforming you. The Spirit of God will change your attitude. You might start serving thinking of yourself, but as you serve, the Spirit of God is going to change your attitude to be of like that of Christ Jesus, one of humility, one of sacrificial love. It'll happen, guys, but you've got to start serving. Second thing that you can do on this path to selfless service is discover who God designed you to be. We call it discovering your shape. Here at CCW, we use the word shape. It's an acronym. 5 different things that when you discover these things about yourself, you can put them in service to God's kingdom and help grow his church in this world. We've heard these a couple times this year. I'm still going to touch on them real quick because I know there's a lot of you who are new to this idea of shape, and there's a lot of you who have heard it and haven't actually put it into practice. Okay, so when I say shape, we're going to start off, and we understand S as spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, we already talked about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are the manifestation of God in our lives, so the Spirit of God in our lives, and he's going to bring out new things in us. And you can actually go online on our website right there and in your bulletin insert. You can go online, and you can take a spiritual gifts assessment. But I want to tell you that I do not believe that discovering exactly, like identifying what your specific spiritual gifts are, it's not as important as embracing the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I mean by that. You can, you know, figure out the specifics, but it's really about recognizing where the Spirit of God is working in your life and joining him there. So what I mean by that is over the course of your life, your spiritual gifts, they're gonna change. Sometimes the Spirit of God does come into you and he places something in your life that's just gonna be permanent, but sometimes he's gonna bring out something in a moment. And if we really learned to be aware of the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God will begin to use us. All right? So if the Spirit of God prompts you to go and pray words of healing over somebody, don't be like, oh, I don't have the gift of healing. God can't do that in me. Follow the Spirit's guidance. If the Spirit of God prompts you to give up all of your property for the sake of the poor, Don't be, oh, I don't have the spiritual gift of giving. You won't know unless you do what the Spirit tells you. All right? So start embracing the guidance of the Spirit in your life. Do what he's asking you to do. And I think we're going to see God doing amazing things through this community. I honestly believe that, guys. So P or S is spiritual gifts. H is your heart. This describes your passions in life. And there are two things when it comes to passions. First is what causes your heart to break. What causes your heart to break when you see it, when you experience it? Maybe this is broken families, or it's people struggling through addiction, people having experienced some sort of abuse in their life. Maybe it's kids who don't have families. What is it that causes your heart to break? The other side of your heart is the things you're passionately excited about, okay? So these are the things that when you think about them, when you talk about them, your face lights up. You want to have a conversation about this, right? The things you get excited about. And when you recognize what breaks your heart and what gets you excited in life, those are areas where God very well might use you. So start looking for that brokenness, those things that break you and the things that you're excited about, and start asking yourself the question of, how can my heart or what's on my heart be used to shape God's kingdom, right? Third thing, A, is your abilities. And this is an easy one. These are the skills you have either learned or skills you naturally have in your life. And some of us, we've been, you know, we're managers. Some of us are really great mechanics. Some of us are good at public speaking. Some of us are never going to be found on a stage. But you've got things that you are good at. I've got things that I'm good at. And none of those things is more important than the other. You have skills that can be used to build up God's kingdom. So what are the abilities that you have in your life that can be used for God? P is personality. Actually, let me pause here. I want to give a shout out to one of my buddies here, PJ. PJ, are you in the room? PJ? There you are. Okay, so PJ. PJ, you know what? PJ's got a shirt on right now that says that he's Mr. Encourager at CCW. And it is the truth. PJ's got an ability, and he uses it. He doesn't let anything stand in his way. So thank you, PJ, for being the church. Okay, P is personality. And personality are all those different characteristics, those different things that make us who we are, right? And there are introverts in this room, and there are extroverts. There are people who are just like exuberant and excited about things, and there are people who are a little more laid back. And understanding your personality helps you discover where you fit into the body of Christ. Now, I outlined a couple of personality assessments that I think are great. You can check these out, the Enneagram, DISC, Myers-Briggs. But what I do want to tell you is that when you take a personality assessment, it's not about just saying, oh, well, I'm this type, or I'm these four letters, or whatever it is that the personality assessment tells you. It's about discovering how God has designed you, okay? So when you dig further into your personality, you want to start asking the question, how does my personality, how does that reflect how I work in the body of Christ? So, for instance, if you're a super introvert grump face, we probably aren't going to put you on the front doors, right? You know, that's not the place for you. But maybe you've got a personality where you just hold on to details, and maybe administration or management of something is a great place for you to be. So, understanding your personality shapes how you serve. Final one is experiences. Experiences. Every single person in here has a different story. I think that's one of the amazing things about God's design, is that every single person in here has a completely unique story. And it comes with good experiences, and it comes with some less than good experiences, right? Some even maybe really bad experiences along the way. But here's the amazing thing about God, is he is the God of redemption. You know that, right? He redeems us. He changes us. But he doesn't just redeem us. He can redeem every bad situation that you've ever experienced. Every bad experience in your life, that is something that can be used to build up God's kingdom. Just to illustrate this a little bit, I struggle with a panic disorder, have most of my adult life. It's not something I'm terribly proud of, but it's something that I am handing over to God and saying, God, you know, you can use this for your purposes. I'm not excited about it. But guess what? Through that, God has allowed me to speak to people with various mental health issues, with much more empathy, with much more experience. I can talk to them about next steps that they can take. And over again, I've gotten to see, as I've given this away to God, I've gotten to see him use it in service to his kingdom. You've got those bad experiences too. And I think our temptation is just to take them and like shove them in the corner somewhere and ignore them. Well, understand your bad experiences are part of your story. And the only way that God can use them is if you learn to surrender them to him. Be okay with God using those things, because he will. He will use it to build up his kingdom. Now, I can stand up here and I can talk for hours upon hours. I'm not going to, though. You don't have to worry about that. And I know, in spite of that, I know that a lot of you will walk out of this room and life's not going to change very much. This is the curse of being a speaker. But I also know that the greatest tool in your arsenal is your story. And I know that a story is worth 1,000 sermons, all right? But when you don't use your story, you are wasting it. You are wasting it. You have a powerful story to share with other people. So let God redeem those experiences. Let God redeem those experiences and use them for his kingdom. So we just talked about shape, and what you need to understand is we actually want to help you in this self-discovery process at CCW. We want to help you figure out how you've been designed for God's kingdom. So a couple ways that you can do this, we actually have these people called shape coaches who will have this conversation with you and help guide you through this process. If you'd like to talk to a shape coach, there's a couple ways you can do this. You can call us up at the church and we'll put you in connection with the right person. Or you can go online and take that spiritual gifts assessment that I was talking about. If you take that assessment, then one of our shape coaches will contact you after that and continue along the process there. The other way is right at the doors, there are some tables and they have these things called shape profiles. You can grab one of these, fill it out, turn it in at our office. It just kind of expands on the things that we've talked about, the spiritual gifts, heart ability, personality, and experiences. And you can expand on that, hand it in to the church, and one of our shape coaches will contact you and guide you to figuring out how you can be used to build up God's kingdom. So, we were designed uniquely by God. We've got to discover our shape. The third thing, final thing, is celebrate the differences. Celebrate the differences. Because we're not all the same. There is so much diversity inside of this room. And thank goodness, it'd be boring if we were all just like me. Okay? We'd be having panic attacks about everything. That's what would happen. So you've got to learn to celebrate all these differences in the room. You've got to learn to celebrate the differences of where we come from, who we are, what languages we have, what spiritual gifts that we've got to bring to the table. We've got to learn to celebrate that. Now, that's as much as I'm going to say on it, because next week, our sermon is all about celebrating the differences, the ways that God has uniquely shaped us. So come back and be a part of that celebration. So just to wrap up, I know when I look around the room, there's a lot of potential in here. I know that. And you can look around and you can see that CCW is growing. You know, we've got new faces in here all the time. But we still suffer from this thing called the 28-year-old. Chris mentioned it last week, and that means that 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. That's 1 in 5 people in here, guys. And I feel like as the church, out of all the organizations, out of all the groups of people in the world, we should be the exception to that rule. We should be able to break that. And you can make a difference, okay? God has designed you to shape his kingdom. And so I do look around this room and I see all kinds of untapped potential for God's kingdom. I see spiritual gifts that are waiting to be used. I see experiences that are waiting to be redeemed, stories that are waiting to be shared, churches that are waiting to get planted. That's what I see in this room. I hope that you see that in yourself too, because you weren't designed to be an octopus. You are designed as a child of God. So go out and be the child of God. Let's pray. Father, you are good all the time, and we just ask that you shape us for your glory. We ask that you fill us with your spirit and the giftings that come from him, and that we use those things for your kingdom. We ask that you redeem the experiences, the brokenness that's in our life, and use that for our kingdom. Help us to change, Father. Help us to be willing to have the attitudes and actions of Jesus Christ, because I know that it is through us that you are shaping your kingdom. Help us to grow here at CCW. Help us to move beyond these walls and affect all of Hernando County. Help your love to spread as a result of the people sitting in this room right now, Father. We are so grateful to be called yours, to be a child of God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.